witness that Aurora Gondora, and she testified at the preliminary hearing. We have made various efforts to try to locate her and have been unable to. I have my investigator here who will talk about that, but we've had some conversation with regards to defense, and just want to articulate our thought process with regards to this.
So it's Aurora Gondora Melchor?
Yes. Like I said, testified at the preliminary hearing. We have a preliminary hearing transcript. We've made multiple efforts to try and locate her or her children. I've been unable to. And we would be asking under Hardy v. Cross, the United States Supreme Court case, talking about what efforts the state needed to go to satisfy the confrontation clause of the Constitution. And having a witness be unavailable and then turn to a preliminary hearing, or in that case, a trial transcript. So we would be, as a state, we would be seeking for admission of the transcript via that way. But we understand that this would kind of put us in a position where the defense has stipulated to other witnesses not being called. And out of an agreement we're having read in various stipulations of witness. But this witness would then be put into a different category of having a transcript read as opposed to a written stipulation. So the parties are in agreement that we would just do it by written stipulation testimony. We've prepared that, and the defense is okay with that. We just wanted to put on the record our efforts of attempting to locate this witness, should satisfy.
Could you give me that Supreme Court case name again?
Yes, Supreme Court case is Hardy v. Cross, and the site is 132 Supreme Court 490, and the U.S.
Is the 132 the Supreme Court site?
It's the Westlaw site. It is the U.S. site, but I thought they had... It's a December 12, 2011 case. And I can certainly find a copy that I have.
I think Melanie's found it.
I have a copy. I copy this.
Is it being
under that particular case, this is a per curiam situation where the state went through multiple efforts there was a retrial of the case. She testified at trial as a person who was afraid of a domestic violence type of situation. Did testify the first time. Then was not able to be located, and made all these efforts to locate. And the trial court found that that was sufficient efforts, reasonable efforts, to locate. The Court of Appeals did not, and the United States Supreme Court case then reversed the
Court of Appeals. You know what circuit is?
That circuit was the Seventh Circuit. And the quintessential language that came from them is found in the last two paragraphs of that. It never held that the prosecutor must have issued a subpoena that wishes to prove that a witness who goes into hiding is unavailable for the confrontation clause purposes, and the issuance of a subpoena may do little good if a sexual assault witness is so fearful of the assailant that she is willing to risk his acquittal by failing to testify at trial. By Sixth Amendment, it does not require the prosecution to exhaust every avenue of inquiry, no matter how unpromising. And then it went on to say it's a reasonableness standard, and that they found that there was more than enough reasonable standard for that particular case. to allow unavailability and confrontation clause that was prior cross examination.
Okay. And Mr. Peterson, you're stipulating then to the stipulation that Mr. Jansen's giving me?
Yes.
Okay, and so you're familiar also with Hardy v. Cross and the standards set forth in that case?
Somewhat.
Enough that you're in agreement with I guess I'm being a little repetitive, but you agree that the stipulation may be read in light of the inability of the state to get that witness.
Yeah, I think the unavailability standard as it applies in Utah has been met. I've looked carefully at the efforts your investigator has gone to locate her. I'm satisfied that they just cannot find her. I think at the preliminary hearing it was established that she was not lawfully within the U.S., so where she is now is anybody's guess.
And do you wish to proffer what that is?
Yes. I'll have my investigator come forward and just proffer it for the record.
You don't need him under oath.
I don't.
Okay.
Mr.
McCall? You can. That's fine. Thanks. We're not putting you under oath, so you can simply tell me what efforts you have made.
Over the course of several weeks, went to numerous addresses that we have for Aurora, based off of the information in the every month police reports and what was given prior to the preliminary hearing. She no longer resides at any address that we found for her. Spoke with the occupants of all the addresses where she had a supporter. They did not know where she lived currently or have any means to contact her. I contacted the Utah Department of Public Safety Statewide Information Analysis Center, and they ran Aurora Gumbor's name and birthday along with two other names that we had who were possibly linked to her, both statewide and nationwide, and found no records. They did provide some rental history based off of utility cable bills, but those addresses were ones that I already checked, and she no longer resided in Jackson. Spoke with the last known employer. She quit working there numerous months ago. They provided me with some phone numbers for her, which I already had. Some of those are disconnected. I never shown any official contact or connection with Aurora, and numerous messages were left both in English and in Spanish on these on the active numbers, and we received no reply. We looked for her oldest daughter, again, with no driver's license, no criminal history. This is for her. We did locate the younger daughter's school records for the Salt Lake City School District. The last records they have when she was enrolled in school was in 2008. Went to that school, spoke with the staff there. They were able to provide me with, they actually pulled her official school district records, which they informed me the fact that it was still at that school. No other school had requested her official educational records. So they have not received any notification that she was enrolled elsewhere.
And so, and the most recent ones were 2008?
Correct. They're official documents.
Yes. Okay. Let's go back. Said that there were, who did you call? What numbers did you call? It was after you talked about the last known employer.
We had two numbers for her based on our system, and then I located a couple of other numbers. Some of the numbers that the employer gave us, the ones we already had, and I never even tried to contact. Those numbers were also given to the SIAC division of the Department of Public Safety, and they ended up running into some dead end. Or they were associated with Aurora. But numerous years ago, and the most recent records showed them belonging to other individuals.
All right, and that's the information that you're familiar with, Mr. Peterson. All right, so I will accept then, thanks, officer. Accept that in both consistent with stipulation, RDB Cross and Rule 804. find that Aurora, Bangor, and Montfort is unavailable, and so will. You wish to have me read the stipulation like I'm reading the others?
Correct, Your Honor, and that would be our intention today. We'll have the next witness will be Sunday noon, and then I'm taking a name by the University Police Officer. Police Officer, there's a police officer there. And then we'll need a word in the words.
Okay. And what about the Aunt and Uncle? Are you on
them? We have them here. We will try. We're just based on timing. We're going to see what we can do. We're going to get through all those witnesses. If we can go to fine.
And Ms. Pender, you're calling her?
Yes. Ms. Pender will probably be the swearing end of all that. And so it's just a matter of what we have time today and possibilities tomorrow.
Right, we've got.
We have time. It's just a matter of logistics and coordinating my sister's coming on particular days.
And now that our weather is cooperating so nicely,
yes.
It's an added challenge. Okay, anything else you need to put on the record before bringing the jury back?
Just with regard to the more analysis and discussion, I just wanted to highlight for the court that we were very careful in our cross-examination of her at the hearing, which is alleviating any central concerns about going forward with that transcript.
Okay, thank you. And I think the record did reflect that already that she did testify at the preliminary hearing and was subject to cross-examination.
Yes, thank you.
And we have made the stipulation based on both the breakdown and cross-examination questions and what each party feels is an essential part of their testimony.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for working that out. Shall we bring the jury back then?
Yes.
Okay.